when I walk up in a spot, I feel like, yo, if I want that, I deserve to have it. And I don't have to like take it by force. Like, the world is yours.
Right.
Ownership. Like, if you just simply, if you're willing to put your foot forward to do the work, and that's the thing, you have to do the work. Mm. You can't just like, yo, it's mine because I said and I manifested it.
Right.
Nah, that's only 30% of it. You know what I'm saying? You still gotta actively do the things, and I mean, from a disciplinary standpoint, because I'm up at 4 a.m, whether I wanna do it or not.
Mm.
But I get up at 4 a.m, by the time 10 o'clock show up, I'm close to done with all the things that I just expressed. You know what I'm saying? I've talked with who I need to talk with and made certain deals and made sure that certain things being handled for the next 2 weeks. So when I show up, the paint is already ready. The deposit is already ready. And then they're ready to pay me when I finish painting. So I can go on to the next one, get back to the computer, start working again, putting out emails, talking to folks and making sure that I'm connecting and being very consistent in my communication so that people don't feel like I fell off and I'm not a part of it anymore.
Mm.
Man, it's the work and I love it.
Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week.
Yeah.
I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week.
Go.
I wanna be a billionaire.
Billionaire.
I wanna be a billionaire.
Billionaire.
I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week.
I
ain't
gonna be a.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, I got a very special guest on my show, ladies and gentlemen. You're in for a treat, so take some notes. We got an NFT artist with a great project that I want the whole community to learn about. It's called Meta Culture, and we got Rio Sarah in the building. Talk to me nicely, King. Bless. How are you?
Doing well, man. Doing extremely well.
Yo, pleasure to coming up. Pleasure to have you on the show today, man. I'm glad you responded to my message for you to be on the show and spread the word, man. I was highly intrigued by your project, you know, when I saw my guy, shout out my guy Miller. Love that dude. He got people out here sneezing out here.
Let's go. All right.
I see you. Yeah, but yeah, I saw the NFT you made for him, and I was really impressed. I was like, wow, like, this dude knows what he's doing. You know what I'm saying? Then when you told me about the Meta Culture project, you sent me the email, and I was just like, whoa, this guy has his stuff together. You know, he's heading in the right direction. And I want you to elaborate with the people on a few things, you know, more so about who you are, where you come from, you know, how did you fall in love with art? And then how did you, like, you know, find your roadmap into the NFT world? So we can start from where you're from, man. Talk to me.
Word. Well, I tell everybody I'm from Missy, Chicago.
Okay.
That's a combination of Mississippi, Alabama, Chicago. Okay. I feel like I can't say one without, you know, talking about the other because they all, like, built
they
me
made
up.
You.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Same here, man. New York, Jersey, Florida, and now LA, bro.
Word.
And you can't tell my story without telling that. So
exactly.
I'm here. But continue.
So, starting there, man. And then as far as art and really being invested in it, the story kind of comes from my mother, because I don't remember this, but she says when I was like around 3 or 4 years old, I saw my father's paintings, and she said I would cry because I couldn't draw like him or couldn't paint like him. And so that was like the beginning of like the enthusiasm to do it. And then my mother, just from that point on, she just straight nurtured and like cultivated my craft. Like, she would show me TV shows of people painting, people drawing, stuff like that, would show me just the little stuff she knew.
Yeah.
She didn't know much, you know, but how to draw stick men, but
right,
she'd
right,
start
right.
there. And then I would go with my imagination and start fleshing it out, you know? So as I continued to grow into the art world, and this is something I actually like recently figured out about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Any single solitary thing in the universe that has something to do with creation, I can do it.
Mm.
That's it. It's like art is, to me, my mind is like the art of making furniture, the art of learning computers, the art of painting, the art of shoemaking, the art of, my brain be thinking like that.
Okay.
So when I was a kid and I, like, me and my brothers were making comic books, I was like 6 years old. My brother was, no, 7.
Okay.
So my other brother I used to draw stuff with, he was like 5.
Okay.
He would write. And I would do the characters and stuff for it. And we'd be selling a comic book at school for like $1.
Wow.
And we coming home with all this money. Our parents is like, yo.
Right.
It was just like, where y'all getting all this money from? Like,
right.
You're 7 years old, okay?
Yeah, and this Chicago, so she don't know where
right,
it's coming
right. from. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, so that built the part of me that once NFTs started becoming a topic, which, by the way, 2020, where everybody was running around in the pandemic, and yes, I'm calling it a pandemic because I know what it is. It was something clicking in my brain that says, yo, we've been down this road before, because like the Y2K scare, the AIDS scare, and the Ebola scare, like the swine flu, all of it. I remember the franticness, and then I also remember that there was somebody making money on the side. So when this situation happened, I said, hold up. Before I let fear take place, I'm going to be like, let the mind take place. Start thinking for yourself. Everybody running this way, somebody making money this way. And that's when I started getting into stock, and then stock led me to crypto, crypto led me to NFTs. As soon as I saw the abbreviation, I started studying it.
Okay.
As soon as I started studying it, I was like, yo, I understand. Art is the only other thing I've understood as fast as I understood NFTs. It was remarkable. So, and I can't say this, what I said this part too.
Yeah, talk to me.
Man, prayer is real. Spirituality is real.
Yes.
So like, upon all of this stuff happening, I'm sitting in my studio. I pretty much like everybody else, like scratching your head, like, what in the world am I going to do? Because body painting is a physical thing, and y'all telling everybody to stay away from each other. So money just went,
right?
You know, and so it's like I'm a definite survivor. I'm a definite thinker. Like, you no one's going to tell me I cannot do something, especially if it's conjoined with what I do as a person on this earth, which is do art. So then NFT showed up, and then I decided, I decided I want to do something that's going to educate. It's like it's in my blood. My mother's a teacher, my father's a pastor. So what do I want to do? That is when I decided to create Black Future Month and the Metaculture NFTs.
Awesome. So tell me about Black Future Month. What does that consist of?
Black Future Month consists of...
Well, first of all, what month is this taking place in?
Well, Black Future Month takes place in February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November.
And January.
And right back to January, as far as I'm concerned. Right. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people giving you a place to be and giving you a label and telling you that that's for you, it's not something I'm accustomed to. You know, if that was the case, I think I would have only just been doing comic books and never ventured off into painting, murals, painting cars, doing clothing. I would have never done that. If somebody told me, oh, this is your lane, this is where you're supposed to be. So Black Future Month for me is highlighting the successes and accomplishments of our culture rather than highlighting the traumatic experiences that we've gone through in the country. So, like, this country don't teach balance. And Black Future Month is an addition to understanding Black history, not like a replacement. It's like, it's showing a balance of, yo, we need to bridge the past with the future and modern day times. And that way we'll know where we're going. That's how you create Black Future Month. You got to know where you've been, but you got to be able to connect that with something. And you got to know where you've been from the brilliant side. No child wants to hear, no adult wants to hear their, like, their culture or where they come from a negative standpoint, so much so that you feel like, well, then what can I contribute if all I did was come from chains and water hoses and dogs chasing me and being put in jail unjustifiably? Like, what's uplifting about that?
And just to play devil's advocate to that, because, you know, I've seen a lot of that, you know what I'm saying? And I also see what's happening with the future and how wealth is transferring little by little to, you know, us, you know what I mean? So, and the wealth gap is getting closer and closer, you know, so through, you know, slavery and all the oppression that we went through creates a sense of motivation to continue that path to close the wealth gap. So I feel there is a need to know where we come from the negative standpoint, because like Biggie said, turn a negative to a positive and it's all good. So, you know, I feel like the negativity of what we went through, we as the people need to like take that frustration and pain and just anger because of it and use it to fuel our fire to do bigger and better things.
And to add on top of that, I say the culture of doing what I'm doing with metaculture, taking that negative and turning it into a positive, is also showing balance with that, because the reason why the metaculture NFTs that I'm kicking off with, because like this is just the beginning. This is like the educational side point. Like I'm getting ready to come out with a musical language, coming out with symbols and ways that we actually communicate with each other in the culture. That's going to be with code and music, right? And like how the fashion is going to look in the metaculture, how the shoes going to look in the metaculture, how the comic books and all that going to look in the metaculture. Like this is just the kickoff. So
yeah, talk to me about the metaculture. Now I'm excited. What's the roadmap look like? Where are you at in the execution of things? Talk to me.
So even though some things are still in movement and planning, like what I'm literally doing is pushing the reset button on the hip hop culture, to tell you the truth. Okay. Because hip hop culture came in and expressed, it showed us how to express ourselves through dance, through graffiti and art, through DJing, through rapping, right? And then, of course, a third-party entity comes in there and start putting their percentages and stuff on it. Some of them don't even care nothing about the culture, and they actually lead the culture into death, and they make it money off the death of it. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, this is our time to push the reset button and say, you know what? The creators of the people that make sneakers, the creators of the people that make art, the creators of the people that do clothing, film, all that. Not only should they make it, but they should own it. Not only should they own it, but they should be able to reciprocate that value with other people that's working in their community. Because if you're an artist and I'm an artist, there's a way for you to sell your NFT to someone else. They buy it, and not only does it benefit you, but it benefits me as well, because we both are part of the same culture and both are part of the same project. So all the people that work with me on the metaculture project, they all do different things. So some of the utilities in the NFTs will be what they do with their profession. Some can get discounts. Some can even have, like, I know a lot of comedians who have a lot of fans who would love to be in one of their skits. You know what I'm saying? So why not make that one of the utilities of the NFT while gaining wealth? Because all the NFT is a customized coin. Customized value piece. So that's really, I can see this situation where there's a financial ecosystem of the buyer, the seller, the owner, and the creator all being incentivized without any third party at all.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what it means for me, for the metaculture.
Okay, and that's a great project. So since you're still like in the beta phase of it, where is the metaculture going, like in regards to like, what do you see it in the next, let's say, 5 years?
Well, I see the next 5 years is completely immersive VR and AR experience in which people can custom make their own avatars, have those avatars travel with symbols and graffiti codes that work like keys that'll go into other people's tours, going into other people's like meditative classes, going into other people's shows or film debuts. Like, it will completely be a bridging of real world applications like clothing, cars, and then blend it into the digital world. Whereas, say you have a vehicle, some of this stuff, I don't want to say on camera yet, because ain't nobody done it. And you know what? God, you got it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to say it like this.
Yeah, but just make sure you put on the blockchain right after.
It's going right on the blockchain right after. Right. But there's certain real world things that people have not put an NFT to yet, that I see that has a culture behind it already. And if they would just simply take that, put it in the digital world, sell what they're doing culturally as an NFT, they can, once the physical piece is gone, and someone's driving it in or wearing it, they're still making money off of that. It'd be one of the only times where something that usually depreciates with value will appreciate with value even long after it's gone.
Absolutely.
So, to make it short and sweet, the whole VR, AR world is where I want to lead people into. And when they go there, I want people to be able to create immersive experience, custom made immersive experiences they can share with other people in the culture and make money off of that continuously, even after they have sold it.
Right. Okay, so now you're building, that's great, by the way. So you're building this community, right? So what are the strategic methods you're using to continue to grow this community? Because I see you have the Discord popping. I joined it, you know, and I see your daily messages. So tell me about the you know, building the Discord community the way you're doing it.
I've been doing it in a couple of different ways.
Also, did you develop that yourself?
The Discord?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, continue. Yeah, tell me about that.
It's... First and foremost, once again, just like I'm scouting to find different, well, I don't have to scout too much because I know so many creators and artists and entertainers, but yet and still, I'm still scouting out to find different people who are already in promotion and marketing who are helping me put things together faster on YouTube platforms, Discord platforms, Twitter platforms, Instagram, as well as making a game out of this. Like almost like
play to earn,
but in a way, for instance, like I have I'm getting ready to do a body paint competition thing, whereas I'm going to paint someone, and then I'm going to have a challenge where whoever follows my Discord and follows the Twitter, follows the joint, and then does a dope body paint piece with whoever they find, they'll get exclusivity into when the first NFT piece is going to be minted and when it's going to drop, and they'll get a first class seat into some of the film debuts that we're getting ready to do with a few people, body art classes that I'm already setting up right now where people can join. They'll get a first class ticket into it, won't have to pay for that. A few tour events that are being set up right now for certain musicians. Miller is one of them, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, incentivizing the community, like promoting what I'm doing by incentivizing the community with games right now and contests. I think that will be the situation that I do to make people want to be engaged into being like, oh, I want to be a part of the project because if I do this, I can win this, or I can get that, or I can, you know. So that's some of my strategies that I'm using right now.
Copy. Okay. So with the play to earn game, and I love that idea. So who is the actual developer behind this? Is it yourself, or are you like, you know, outsourcing this
Outsourcing it. Right now, I'm working with a group called Play the Crowd.
And they are what type of company?
They are VR, AR, and immersive reality company. So like,
so software developer.
Yeah, software developer. Okay. Exactly. They are based in Atlanta.
Okay.
And they are pretty much helping me build this whole what they call the Omniverse.
Okay. Tell me about that.
So, and I hope that I'm quoting them well. You know what I'm saying? But right. Omniverse is pretty much. Oh man, okay. It's a community of worlds in each pocket. So it's like, let's say for instance, you have 150 different portals that people can go into. In just one portal alone is a whole universe in that one portal alone, and you got 150 of them. And people are in one universe creating communities, creating other virtual lands, virtual property, and everything just in that one. They can create a whole stadium in there. They can create a whole game platform in there, and that's just that one. Mm-hmm. And so they have one world with 150, and then another one with 150, another 150. So it's universe after universe after universe just in one pocket. It's mind-blowing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they have a way where all of those universes can communicate with each other, operate with each other, sell stuff with each other. It's mind-blowing.
So where does the Omniverse live? Is it like within the Oculus?
It actually can be accessed through the Oculus as well, Spatial as well. It's a few other programs, but from how, because this is a new group that I'm working with, how they expressed it is like it would literally be available on all VR platforms and through iPhone platforms where a person can kind of just kind of like go through it on their phone and move around. Like, you know, the galleries and real estate, like those places are prone to the virtual, virtual, not performance, but virtual tours. That's what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. Where you can look through it and see what everything is going to look like moving all the way around. So,
yeah,
man, the platform is going to be Play the Crowd is... It's amazing. It was mind-blowing to me. I didn't just like, yo, all this is coming out of Atlanta? Like, I was living in Atlanta 13 years. Man.
But like you said, and going back to the pandemic, you know, for me, that saying means, you know, during that type of pandemic, you have to plan to survive.
Yep.
You know, so with that being said, during that time is where I feel a lot of innovation came out, especially during the NFT and crypto wave, and then a lot of, you know, new things came about, like even the Oculus having a, you familiar with the multiverse?
Yeah, I am.
Right. So, you know, I discovered that through there, and then through the multiverse, there was a little Infiniverse there in beta phase. Are you familiar?
Yeah. So I was just shaking my head about just like the range, man.
Right. You know, but you can go in there, you can buy this real estate, and, you know, it's so early that when it does get commercialized, you know, these brands are going to come in there and want to set up shop, but they'll have to buy the property from the original owners,
exactly,
which makes it that much more valuable to get in now. So just, you know, and that's just one little piece, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or everything that can be, you know, this shit is just endless. So yeah, man, I'm with you all the way, and I'm glad that you're, you know, in this space and you got the right team working with you to kind of develop this roadmap. So, so what is the roadmap, if you don't mind sharing?
To go through it briefly, first and foremost was just simply getting the people, scheduling the dates for the photo shoots and compositing what we were going to do graphically to put everybody into the digital aspect of the NFT. The second role of that was just getting word out, like complete marketing, outreach, even different strategies, like, you know, it's, you know, we don't have time to go through all of them, but like just different strategies that we would want to use to market, promote, incentivize the community. And then the third half of that would have been creating avatars from these NFT pieces, and then almost creating like a story, and at the same time creating the universe where these people are going to be able to be owners, buyers, and sellers in this universe. Mm-hmm. And the fourth part of that is the customer being able to customize their experiences, customize their worlds. Like, take for example, right now, when you go to your webpage, like say you have a store, you're selling clothes on your store, like Squarespace. Imagine that webpage was an immersive webpage. You could actually go into a room where every single item that's in that room is some sort of a door or NFT or a gateway to somebody's tour or access into maybe some other different projects and stuff that you have going. Mm-hmm. And it can literally go through your world and touch every little thing that's in your little immersive web world, mm-hmm, and get access into something. They can buy clothes there. They can see films and stuff there. Everything just in that little box. Like, that's where my mind is going in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. So we're actually...
And that's Web 3.0, right?
Yeah. Okay. So we're actually, honestly, man, I was somewhat scared to start all this off when I first thought of it, because the middle of January, the middle of January, knowing February coming around the corner.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying Black Future Month and trying to hurt to make an NFT product. But it was something in driving my spirit. And it's always been in the drive of my spirit to be like, you know what? This is an idea you want to do. You already understand the NFT world well enough, because I'm still always learning things. Mm-hmm. But you understand it well enough that you can make this work, and then you can start getting all of the people you need involved if you pull in these people to the project and stop trying to do it on your own. Because that's one thing I will say that the metaverse opened my mind into. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it wasn't there. It was just the light bulbs turned on when I thought about what was going on. Mm-hmm. It was like, this opportunity with everybody that's a part of it, the more people you bring into it, the more you can build abundance, not even just with yourself, but with them too. Because mm-hmm. it's no, like this year, I told myself, yo, it's easy for me to make money for me. I want to make money for other people. I want to be that dope that when I show up, when my name show up on the telephone, they quickly answer because they know every single time that Rio got some money coming.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so this metaverse world showed me yo, you can connect all of what you're doing with your art, all everything you've learned, HTML and CSS, just the knowledge of that, because I taught that for 2 years, and then film, I taught that for 2 years, and then body art, and then digital work, and then graphic design, and then storytelling, and then sci-fi, because I like sci-fi and fantasy type of stuff. You can take all, and education, you can take all the worlds, put them together, get all of these different people to be a part of it, and your thing will branch out even more, because people feel incentivized just being a part of projects, something they can talk about, and it makes it even better when it's something that they can talk about that's going to enrich their lives and enrich other people's lives because they're part of it. Man, that's a win-win-win all the way around. So I stepped my foot on the gas, said, let's do it. And right after that, bro, all the stuff I was scared wasn't going to come in place just started falling into place. People would just come in left and right and say, yo, I help you put together the whitelist. Yo, I help you put together your roadmap. Yo, I can help you get your I.O. Yo, I can, boom. So, man, I've just been staying on it. I got shades on for more than one reason because I don't want y'all to see how it's leaving.
Right.
1 hour a day. You know what I'm saying?
But it's
worth it, man. I'm still electric and energized about it because I see not only what it can do for people in general, but my community, because we are the fire starters.
That's right.
We're the ones that say what's cool. We're the ones that say what's dope. And all we got to do is be dope.
We
are the culture. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, this is easy street for me. It's like, if yo, kids in hip hop back in the 70s said, yo, we can't get into this disco, you know, spot because we got shoes and a leather vest on and they won't let us, you know, so forget that. We finna go over to this abandoned building. We finna hook the wires up. Homie got the DJ sets. We gonna put that in. We gonna have a party. And they just kept doing that until the world heard them so loud. That they was like, man, we want to be like y'all. They leaving out of the clubs. Blondie and all them coming out the freaking clubs to come down there in the hood to come mess with us. So this is our opportunity. Press the reset button, do it again. And then this time, do it where we own it, where we rocking it, where nobody can tell us what to do with how we doing our music, our art, our comedy, what we find funny, films and stuff, and writing, and what we find exciting. This is our time, man. So it's like, I'm mega excited, and that's what keep me up. That's what about you. I'll get 1 hour of sleep, and boom, wake back up and be like, yo, it's for the culture.
Right. That's awesome, man. That's awesome to hear, man. And with entrepreneurship, you know, you always have that fire and that intensity for your dream, right? But now at the same time, you know, the dream has to become the career. Exactly. And it has to fund the lifestyle and it has to fund the progression because, you know, bills still got to get paid and all that stuff. Yeah. So with that being said, you know, are you doing this full time? Is it a career or is it something that you're doing on the side and doing something else to kind of fund it? Like, is it generating?
Bro, I'm doing a lot on the side. That's another reason.
Okay.
Right, you know what I'm saying? like I'm a, I would consider myself a body art performance artist.
Okay.
So like, I'm still doing body art performances. I'm still doing music videos, art for that. I'm still selling canvas work while painting things. I'm still doing crypto while I'm investing in crypto and then flipping crypto. I'm still talking to investors, be like, yo, take a little bit of this and put it here. I'm still going over the corner and doing classes, teaching classes and getting things geared up for that and getting paid from that. Man,
hustle is good.
It is, and you know, at this point in my life, like, I don't consider myself like, for me, grinding feels like, yo, I gotta get this and do this. Like, grinding feels like it's a bit of a struggle in the tub. No, bro, I ain't starving and I ain't struggling. You know what I'm saying? Like, my hustle is lightning speed now. Like, I feel like, yo, when I walk up in a spot, I feel like, yo, if I want that, I deserve to have it, and I don't have to like take it by force. Like, the world is yours.
Right.
Ownership. Like, if you're willing to put your foot forward to do the work, and that's the thing, you have to do the work. You can't just like, yo, it's mine because I said and I manifested it.
Right.
Nah, it's only 30% of it. You know what I'm saying? You still gotta actively do the things, and I mean, from a disciplinary standpoint, because I'm up at 4 a.m. whether I want to do it or not. But I get up at 4 a.m. By the time 10 o'clock show up, I'm close to done with all the things that I just expressed. You know what I'm saying? I didn't talk with who I need to talk with and made certain deals and made sure that certain things being handled for the next 2 weeks. So when I show up, the payment's already ready. The deposit is already ready. And then they're ready to pay me when I finish painting. So I can go on to the next one, get back to the computer, start working again, putting out emails, talking to folks and making sure that I'm connecting and being very consistent in my communication so that people don't feel like I fell off and I'm not a part of it anymore. Man, it's the work and I love it.
Right, and I love it, man. What stood out to me the most is just getting up at 4 a.m. and starting that business early, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people don't get up till 8, 9 o'clock. And by then, the stock market has been open 3 hours already. Right. They didn't make decisions about your life when you were sleeping, you know? So,
bro,
I feel you.
And even that's prayer, man. I gotta give all praise to Yahushua and Mashiach, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what moved my vessel. That's what moves my body. That's what moves my energy. That's what moves my art. That's what moves like every idea I ever come up with.
And what is that?
Well, in Hebrew, that's just Jesus' name.
Got it.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to talk about that too. Because, man, if you don't know your ancestral God, you don't know where you're going as well. That's another thing that I'm going to start implementing in it because people feel like money is just like a physical thing. No, money is a spiritual thing. Mm. It really is. You know what I'm saying? And wealth is and abundance is a spiritual thing. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, it's very important to my life. Like, before I even begin the day, I got to... When I wake up 4 a.m, it's partly because I ain't gonna start work till 5 a.m. because I'm gonna spend 4 to 5 praying and reading the Bible first before I actually get up and start actively doing a bunch of stuff, you know? So my spirit right, my mind's right, I'm engaged. I know that what I want to say is gonna be concrete and it's gonna make sense.
Yeah. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire, I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I ain't gonna make a friend, I just came to handle business. Had to make